Wayne Parrish is with us, the head honcho, Chief Poobah, major domo of, wait a sec, basketball, Canada basketball.
Canada basketball.
And I told the story earlier. I mean, the round table, which will be on tomorrow night on this program, stemmed entirely from the Dubin Inquiry. It was a one-off thing. We just decided to bring some guys in and start talking. And Wayne was the sports editor, I believe, of The Sun at that time.
I was.
You were beyond the writing stage, I think.
Many lifetimes ago.
And so we had this round table of where we talked about it, and it morphed into more roundtables and more discussions, and it was an all captivating story for a period of time.
I think we talked intelligently about it, didn't we?
We may or may not have.
Did you talk about hockey at all?
This is what we talked about. It was one of us got sued over it too. And
it wasn't me, Jeff.
Okay, and it wasn't me. And Charlie Francis was as an integral part of the story. Maybe the most integral part of the story.
I think he was the story, Bobby. I mean, and that's one of the ironies of what's happened. I mean, I think he was the story then, and I think he remains the story today. Charlie passed away, as we all know, yesterday at the age of 61. He was a pal of mine. I say that up front. I knew him for over 30 years, and I think that the legacy that he leaves is in most people's eyes needs to be reassessed. And I think that's something that may well happen in the coming weeks and months. And if it does, that's a good thing. But I think it's an unfortunate thing that it had to wait until the time after his passing for that to occur, if indeed it does occur.
As I recall, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, the essence of Charlie's testimony at the Dubin Inquiry was mea culpa, but here's why. Everybody else was doing it. You wanted us to produce competitive athletes and a champion, and we couldn't do it unless we went down this road. Was that in essence,
Charlie,
what he said?
That captures it pretty well, Bob. Charlie was absolutely ahead of his time in terms of the zeal and the competitive fire that burned within him to be the best in the world himself when he ran, and to make his athletes the best in the world when he coached. He never suffered fools gladly, and among those he never suffered gladly were the people who ran track and field and sport in Canada at the time, because they set up this impossible, what he considered this paradoxical situation, where in order to qualify for funding, you had to achieve results on the world stage. And then he would say, or people would say, yes, but you're having to compete against athletes who are doping. And the people back in Canada would say, well, get over it, get past it. You still got to go out there and in order to qualify for funding. And Charlie, through those early years, and the stories are legion, and a number of them emerged in the last couple of days. I mean, he spent so much of his own money to clothe his athletes, to feed his athletes, to take them around the world. And those are the things about Charlie that somehow, what happened on that day in Seoul and the Dubin Inquiry thereafter, and in the 22 years since, have obscured, my sense is, the real guy and the real contribution that Charlie made to sport and to track and field internationally.
Wayne, don't you think, though, that given what we know now about the culture of performance-enhancing substances in every sport, it's awfully hard to look at Charlie and as someone who was sort of saw this only from the periphery and wasn't involved in the story at the time, it's hard not to look at him and really, really feel sorry for him.
I mean,
from my point of view,
Jeff, I appreciate where you're coming from with that comment. I knew him so well. I mean, it was, I never felt sorry for Charlie. But I can understand how people would, and I think it's very justified. I never felt sorry for him because he was such a strong individual, and he was so determined and so right about everything that he said. I mean, everything he said before the Dubin Inquiry was proven out, even in detail, beyond what he knew and what he contributed at that time. We in Canada, we seem to judge people, and we judge Charlie Francis in this: you either wear a black hat or a white hat. We stuck him in a black hat in 1988 and 1989, and never took that black hat off him. The reality is that he was much more dimensional, had many more dimensions than that, and what he contributed, and coaches around the world talk about him being, in terms of his technical expertise, the best coach that Canada has ever produced in track and field at a global level, probably the best sprint coach in the world of the last 50 years, if not all time. And it's unfortunate that this reality obscures that. And I agree with you. I mean, I think people can look at the saga and say, you feel sorry for him. I mean, I wish his legacy and think his legacy may now change, but I'm just sad that it's taken this or it'll take this for that to occur.
With due respect, I mean, I wasn't a friend of Charlie Francis's, and I don't hold the romantic view of him that I think you do. What disturbs me more about the legacy of Charlie, I think, was while I understand why he did what he did and how he could justify the means because he was mandated to get to a certain end, it's more difficult as we moved 15 years later and Charlie suddenly is connected to people like Marion Jones and Tim Montgomery and continually denied that he had any role in their use of performance-enhancing drugs. And we know both of them did use. And, I mean,
yeah.
It's like I absolutely
know that Charlie did not have any role in their use of performance-enhancing drugs, and the history shows in both cases they were using performance-enhancing drugs long before they were involved.
Was Charlie aware they were using?
I don't know the answer to that.
What would you suspect?
My suspicion would be that Charlie was aware, but I never asked him that. I never had that conversation with him.
See no evil, speak no evil?
In the world of track and field, I guess that's what it is. What he contributed to Montgomery and Jones was that technical expertise and development that really did, that they sought out and really did help them for that period of time.
Oh, and look, I don't pretend to know anything about track and field at that technical level, but I will tell you that we talked to enough people in that era that acknowledged that Charlie Francis was at the top of the game. There was nobody technically that was a better coach than Charlie Francis.
Absolutely.
And for that, he should be applauded and recognized. I mean, that unfortunately, I'm not sure that stain is ever going to be washed out.
I sincerely hope it will be as the weeks, months, and years go on from here.
Great to see you as always. Thanks for coming down.
Thanks, Bob.
Wayne Parrish.
Thanks, Jeff.
The head of Canada Basketball.